At Klahani Condominium Association.
Good morning. May it please the court. Michael Padilla here on behalf of Appellant Sundance Association, and I am requesting 4 minutes for rebuttal, please. For purposes of clarity, during argument, I'll be referring to Appellant Sundance as the association and respondent as the HOA. But again, this is indeed a case about competing lien creditors, and this is indeed the first one that I've seen as a former bank lawyer and a condo lawyer that involves 364 2A, so RCW 6434, 364 2A, the issue of priority of non-deed of trust lien encumbrances. And that is what we have before us here today. We also have the issue of whether when a particular creditor, and again, I'm going to refer to this as an intercreditor litigation matter, where you have one creditor, my former banking clients, saying we're collecting on a debt. We're owed money, and this party, in this case Miller, owes us money. But if we get engaged in litigation, even though our fees would be an in personam liability of our debtor, our borrower, whoever it is under a note, deed of trust, if any third party who's not a party to that contract disputes or somehow resists any legal issue, we now are able to assert that there's in personam liability of that competing lien creditor. That's would be novel law in Washington. This court has already addressed that issue on the Gibbons case in the context of deeds of trust, where there was an investor who was a stranger to the note and deed of trust who actually litigated over various and sundry issues, but they were not a party to the note or the deed of trust. And there in the Gibbons case, which I think is more properly 4856 South 256 versus Gibbons, says, no, you're not a party to the case. Here, as far as the threshold issue, it appears that in the briefing that the HOA is conceding that the covenant lien of the HOA cannot permanently foreclose out a statutory condominium lien under 364. And again, when I refer to these various provisions under 364, I am talking about the Washington Condominium Act 6434 RCW.
Do you agree that the CCRs, particularly the provision that provides for assessments against the lots within the development, are an encumbrance on the property that is the condominium?
Here, I would say this, that there's two different elements, and this is something that the Hebb versus Severson case points out.
I'm just trying to take a brick at a time.
Certainly, Your Honor.
Are the CCRs that provide that the assessments for common expenses by Klahani is that CCR an encumbrance on the condominium property?
It is an encumbrance, but it is not a lien. Encumbrances are a larger subset, which can include anything from mineral rights, common law servitudes, any of those things, but here, no lien until 30 days after a default on that.
And that encumbrance predated the condominium declaration by a number of years.
Oh, yes, yeah, by 10 years.
So would you focus on the exceptions in the priority in the condo statute? Because it says encumbrances or liens as one of the first exceptions. Why aren't the CCR encumbrances entitled to priority over the condominium association lien for common area expenses?
Encumbrances such as land use restrictions, what a house can be painted, what can be done with the land before a declaration of condominium might be recorded, certainly takes precedence. But what the developer of the HOA made sure of so that they could actually achieve their fundamental goal of developing the Issaquah Plateau and convert some of these lots to condominium was to make sure that if there was any lien, it would not attach until 30 days after there was a default on assessment. So this is express language.
Well, and that would certainly allow under the condominium statute that any outstanding lien amounts were cleared before the declaration was filed, and it would, you know, it would put anybody on notice if there were liens out there prior to sale, so they were closed. But doesn't the encumbrance, doesn't the language expressly state that encumbrances are exceptions to the priority? And this encumbrance can give rise to a lien.
It can, but there is
not all encumbrances would, but this one can.
And not until 30 days after default. There is no lien. There's no lien whatsoever. There's no security interest under which a judicial foreclosure could proceed. There's no.
So you don't see a circumstance in which the lien amount, which flows naturally from the encumbrance, relates back for the association, as you would argue it would for the condominium.
Yes, that is correct, because here the Washington Condominium Act is cited in our brief, littered with provisions that are intended to protect condominiums, to protect owners. It is one of the most expansive statutes out there. It is sprawling. And one of the paramount intents, and this is in 64, 34, 435, which says developer, you know, so this developer that bought this lot and said, I think I'm going to make some condominiums out of this, right? I can do that under this HOA, but it isn't going to be worth a hill of beans, right, if I can't comply with 435 so that when I'm ready to sell this unit, this condominium unit, that it just created one lot, all right, out of one lot into to be able to sell it free of any prior liens. So that provision requires that.
4 minutes reserved.
Good morning, Your Honors. David Tall appearing for Klahani, the Homeowners Association.
Got a question for you just to clear up factually. You're not claiming to have been organized under the Horizontal Regimes Act?
No. This is under RCW 64.38.
Okay. That was enacted long after the CCRs were filed. So you subsequently opted into that?
No. RCW 64.38, the Single Family Home Association statute, has been in existence for some time now. And I believe it predated 1985.
I'll double check, but I thought the effective date of the act is 86 or 88. So it was – I'll double check.
Well
– all right. But you're not claiming to be under – the Horizontal Regime Act.
That is correct, right, Your Honor. The declaration, as you pointed out, is an encumbrance that flows with the land. And I believe this matter is resolved not only based upon outstanding case law, and specifically BAC versus Fulbright, but also the fact that the Klahani lien, which was a floating lien from 2012 onward, the claim of lien of which was filed in January of 2015, predated the judgment lien of Sundance, which was entered in March of 2015. Now, that judgment which was entered was a personal judgment. It was not a foreclosure matter, and it subsumed within it all of the assessments which became due prior in time and which would have constituted a lien against the property into that personal judgment. Now, that election then made the amounts accruing prior to the judgment essentially a judgment lien, which the effect of which is it establishes priority on title as of that date. So
there's no condominium lien here? There's just a judgment lien?
The Sundance lien from March 2015 onward constituted a lien against the property. But you have to factor in the subsection 8 of 64.34.364, which recognizes that there is a statute of limitation under which you can foreclose the lien. And it's a three-year statute of limitation. So essentially, by electing to simply get a judgment lien, all of those assessments which accrued up until that point in time were merged into the judgment lien. And the only effective way that you could have a foreclosure action is to file a new suit for foreclosure. And then you would have the problem of concurrent matters. And you can't foreclose judicially under 64.12 when there's a concurrent matter. So factually, the Klahani lien is before in time as well. But BAC Fulbright essentially recognizes that a declaration as an encumbrance can provide constructive notice of a lien which may accrue in the future. And the language of the case related it back to a mortgage for future advances. And the instructive provision in that case said, in other words, once a lien for future advances is recorded, it takes priority over subsequently recorded liens, even where an obligation under the lien for future advances does not in fact arise until after the subsequent lien is recorded. It at 763. So essentially, you can have an encumbrance which necessarily says there will be a lien in the future. Now, how does an association deal with lenders in that circumstance? They put in those declarations a carve-out establishing priority over a subordination in favor of the lender. So the lenders will advance monies to build on a lot and or to allow an individual purchase on a lot. So they have to have that language in there. But outside that language, once that encumbrance is recorded, it provides notice that somewhere down the line, there may in fact be a lien which is attached to that property. And the priority of that lien is established at the time the encumbrance is recorded. And that's what BAC Fulbright establishes, because in that case, they were faced with, is the bank a junior lien holder or not? And the prior case law stated that because the foreclosure statute, the redemption statute, only allows for liens recorded after the fact to be junior lien holders, the Supreme Court had to create a recognition that the lender in that case, BAC, was junior because its deed of trust was recorded after the declaration was recorded. And even though that declaration recognized that there could be a lien after the fact, in that case the six-month super priority lien, that accrues after the fact, notice of the same was established when that declaration was recorded. So too in the Klahani Declaration, under 6434-36402, as the court recognized, the declaration was recorded prior in time to the establishment of the Sundance Condominium Association declaration. So that, in effect, as an encumbrance, took priority over anything that was provided for in the Sundance declaration.
So if I'm understanding your argument, you're saying the covenants, conditions, and restrictions from 85 take on the same function as the mortgage for future advances addressed in BAC?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Your Honor. And the analysis that is used by BAC versus Fulbright certainly flows to the facts of this case. Now, that was a case involving a condominium versus a deed of trust. But you can take those names away and simply say encumbrance versus encumbrance. Deed of trust is an encumbrance. Was it before in time or after in time to the declaration filed in that case? And the Supreme Court said It was after in time. And therefore, because it provided constructive notice, the bank indeed is a junior lien holder subject to redemption rights. Now, the other point I'd want to bring up here is, what effect does a super priority lien of 6 months come into consideration if there's a trustee sale? In this case, Your Honor, if there was a trustee sale, and by way of offer proof, there was subsequently a trustee sale, the issue before the court then becomes the priority of the Klahani lien, which had been extinguished, versus the priority of the Sundance lien, which was extinguished, as to the surplus proceeds, which are presently in the registry of the court. And that's governed by RCW 61.24.080, subsection 3. So the issue of priority is still very important to this court's consideration. The last thing I want to bring up, Your Honors, because my time is short, is the attorney fee issue. Under Article 11.4, a party in interest, if they are not the prevailing party, is subject to the attorney fee award of the court. And Sundance, their sole argument regarding rights in this case arise out of their lien. So they are necessarily a party that has a right, title, and interest in the subject property. And if that party in interest, and if they want to challenge the Klahani Declaration in terms of priority, which they have, then that party is subject to the court's determination of award of attorney fees. And in this case, it is appropriate that this court also grant attorney fees in favor of Klahani, because Klahani is clearly the superior lien. Thank you.
Counsel, just the reason I asked the question earlier about where you were organized is 6438 didn't come into existence until 95. I had my year wrong, but I asked because I was a sponsor of the bill, so I knew it had come in later than that. So I wasn't sure how you organized under it, but that's the source of the question.
Well, if I may respond, the declaration is an encumbrance on the land and would be treated as declaration is treated in terms of priority under 6434,
right.
364.
Right, but the reason I was concerned about whether you were under that act, though, was it seemed like the organization was formed well before the statute came into existence. That was my...
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Rebuttal. Here, the Washington Condominium Act lien priority scheme provides for lien priority over every other lien except for priors under 2A and to the limited extent for deeds of trust under 364.3. And indeed, no private party can buy a condominium unit in Washington without having the ability to buy it free of a prior lien. That is this state's law, to rule that there is a surviving prior that can wipe out a condominium statutory lien would do violence to the entire WCA. Point number two, a simple judgment that any condominium in our state, be it Pomeroy County or King County, they decide to just sue and get a personal judgment without a decree of foreclosure, does nothing to affect the lien in any way, shape, or form. That is RCW 64-34-364-12. There's no election of remedies or suing on the note type of issues or the like or defenses. They can go get a personal judgment, doesn't affect the lien. They can actually then go get another judgment for a decree of foreclosure. Foreclose then on that same debt that captures the earlier judgment. That is subsection 12. Point number three, BAC loan servicing. They're in a note to the primary opinion where they analyze not this declaration of covenants lien in the specific language that a developer's attorney drafted in 85. They instead comment that, well, let's look at the statutory scheme that our legislature came up with, not this developer's attorney, what our legislature came up with specifically to protect condominium associations and their lien. Well, it's a lien that is prior to literally everything except priors under 2A, obviously state of Washington real property taxes, and to a limited extent, mortgages will have a limited priority under 364 sub 3. That is as far as BAC went. I think one of the concerns here is that no matter how much one wants to look at cases like BAC, no matter how much one wants to actually say, well, this is a mechanical case, there was a Declaration of Covenants, so common law servitude recorded in 85, it must relate back. All one would have to do is look at, and I can picture the future advance clauses on any of my former banking clients' deeds of trust or a construction lender loan, you know, and that is not the language that this developer created in 85. They specifically said no lien at all until 30 days after date of default. One reads that out if one does not actually read that provision, whereas on a future advance clause it says this deed of trust secures, which is secured lender language for it is a lien. It secures. That's a verb that says we have a lien.
Why isn't the encumbrance language that's in the CCRs and that's recognized in the Condominium Act comparable to that language?
Your Honor's question is regarding the HOA's lien or the condominium statutory lien? Because it's, regarding the HOA lien.
Right. The Klahani's CCRs provide, there's an encumbrance and provide for a lien that flows from that encumbrance. The Condominium Act recognizes there could be encumbrances or liens that exist at the time of the declaration as an exception. Why isn't that comparable to the mortgage situation you described?
Because a mortgage is granted by our legislature statutory priority except to the extent of 6 months' worth of assessments. In this situation...
Okay, I'm trying to say the statute, the legislature, in the condo statute says except encumbrances or liens existing on the declaration. Why isn't that legislative recognition comparable to the legislative recognition of the mortgage?
Comparable to the mortgage. I was falling until that very last word.
Well, in BAC, you're saying that they have created, there's a recognition there that that is an exception.
Specifically because BAC was only trying to interpret the statutory provision 364 sub 3 and that 6 months limited lien priority. Here we're talking about the language in the Declaration of Covenants has to stand or fall. Not on BAC, but literally on what that developer drafted in 85, Your Honor.
Mr. Can I ask another question?
You may.
What would you do with the circumstance that Klahani was organized under the Condominium Act and Sundance was organized under the Condominium Act? Which of the Condominium Act liens would have priority?
The dueling battle of master versus a sub-association. And in there, we have a provision in 364. I think it's subsection 7 that says if two associations have a lien under the Condominium Act, not a declaration of servitudes, you know, but if there are two condominium associations, a master and a junior, that the liens have equal priority, which means neither forecloses the other out. If they're, you know, this great question because there's case law elsewhere in other states where that issue came up, and neither can foreclose the other out. Uh-huh. Here, the ultimate thing, though, is that there would be a foreclosure where there is literally no lien on a unit. So one out of 200 condominium units would stand there like Switzerland, immune.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are at recess. That's our final case.